Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, we just want to give you all a quick heads up that we will be discussing the topic of self-harm and suicide. If that is something you're uncomfortable with, we totally understand and we will catch you on the next podcast. We will have resources in the show notes if that's something that you're interested in. Take care. Everyone, and welcome back to The Flight Attendant. We're flying into your feeds. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-pilot, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am so glad that we are double-double toiling, troubling together, talking about The Flight Attendant, episode 7. We are heading over to the old Ferris wheel at Santa Monica Pier today.
Yeah, what would you say if I just showed up and I was dressed exactly like you with the blonde wig on? Would it freak you out?
I think, like, the you know, we are not that big of fans of wigs on this podcast, so I do think that the blonde wig would send me over the edge.
If you decide, like, a dry flat wig.
Yeah, if you decided to dress like me, I mean, does that consist of black leggings and a long sleeve? Oh, and a turtleneck.
But yeah. I hate turtlenecks. That's the problem.
I don't know why.
I would just be, you know, you'd be able to tell us apart because I would be the one just like grasping at my neck constantly because I can't stand it choking me.
That and the 6 inches between us. Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe the height difference would also tip it off.
Yeah. But I did realize that about 80% of my wardrobe is now turtlenecks. So
yeah, it's a problem. You should see somebody about that. But also, we're not alone because we're not going to just twin it. We're going to triple it. So I brought someone in who looks exactly like us.
Yeah.
And not for nothing, but I also believe that his head would be perfect for a wig. Ariel's here. Ariel, how are you?
I'm good. I immediately got like a hot flash when you said that because synthetic hair on my head does not feel good. It makes me sweat a lot. But yeah, if we all showed up in the same thing, I'd probably have my like Tommy Bahama beach chair on my back thinking that.
Stop
like,
it.
Both of you. But like, oh, is that not the costume for this?
It is part of the costume because I do have my very own Tommy Bahama beach chair now, which you, if you follow us in the Discord, you can see the Tommy Bahama beach chair 2022
drama.
Watch.
I cannot with this.
Yeah, we're on the hunt for a Tommy Bahama.
This is like,
beach
I'm gonna
chair.
Cut this out.
No, you can't.
Did you forget I edit this podcast, Sarah?
I will say that a Tommy Bahama beach chair is the elite beach chair.
I'm gonna do a sponsorship.
Yeah, we're Tommy not Bahama. Even sponsored by Tommy Bahama, and you've literally said the words Tommy Bahama at least 15 times. We're 3 minutes into the podcast.
This is some great SEO.
Yeah, I will say that I am the biggest fan of Tommy Bahama and all of his beach wares. So
if you're curious what the hell we're talking about, become a patron, potionrecaps.com/Patreon. There was a whole discussion about the best beach chair and is it worth the $80 or however much it is.
I would say yes. Catch me this summer on the Jersey Shore beaches with a turtleneck and a Tommy Bahama beach chair.
Yeah, no, please, turtleneck. No. Catch me on the beach. How about that?
Ariel, tell us a little bit about your experience at the flight attendant, because I'm pretty sure you were flying through the series.
I flew through the series very recently. I was watching it on a plane not too long ago, and it felt very appropriate, especially in the early days. Of season one, I think, wow. For me, okay, going into it, my immediate reaction was like, holy crap, I can't believe that I didn't know T.R. Knight was in this. I'm a big Grey's Anatomy fan.
Yes!
So this was like for me, some like really random, beautiful, lovely casting between him and Rosie Perez, who is like New York City royalty. And I mean, this season we got Sheree Akdash, we have freaking Sharon Stone, but even season one, there are all these people that I personally liked and have, like, you know, quote unquote, an association with just from liking them from other things. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that's making me feel better. And I wasn't sure what to expect because I know it was like a big hit at the beginning of COVID and it was like such a thing. And I really liked it. I thought that I mean, especially watching it on a binge for me, it was super easy to get through. Jess, you know, I have the capability of watching things at higher speeds if I need to for binging needs. Mm-hmm. And I, for me, the stuff that hits the hardest is like having T.R. Knight be on the show, who played George O'Malley on Grey's. Sorry, Grey's spoilers. He did. And like to see him,
the 007 moment with him on Grease is like one of like the moments.
I remember it well.
It is like literally one of those TV moments where your like heart is all of a sudden like in your butt. Like it just, it's awful.
It was so well executed and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, as corny as this is going to sound, like to see him be doing something here, I don't mean the actor. I mean like, who is essentially George and like having another life is really beautiful to me of like he continued on like perhaps in a parallel universe, whatever. And honestly, like I see him on screen and my mind and my heart is just like immediately ready to cry because that's how I go into Grey's. So any scene between him and Kaley Cuoco, I'm just like immediately in on. And that's the stuff that hits hardest for me. Like I have a sibling who has children. It like so many of the things, I mean, it's all universal. It doesn't matter if you know what the situation is, but like if you have a sibling or if you have like a close friendship relationship, whatever, you totally get this. And they just play it so well. The history tracks, like that's the stuff that's richest to me.
Yeah.
The mystery stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's fun. Yeah. Michael Huisman, whatever his name is. Yeah. He's hot. I love having him around for a while.
Is that Benjamin Barry? Is that who plays Benjamin Barry?
No. That was the season one guy, the dead body.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. Oh, yes. He was very good looking. hottie with a dead body in the bed.
Hottie with a cold body.
You know, speaking of George O'Malley, and T.R. Knight, Davey, as we know him here, I don't know, Sarah, like, I'm a little nervous about the situation with him and those, like, urgent texts he sent Cassie. I'm like, is Jenny gonna straight murder him?
Yeah, they really buried the lead on those text messages, and it was really a blink and you miss it. I actually paused it like 3 times trying to get a hold of what those text messages said, but I believe they said, call me Kay. And right away, if you're a grown man using K as in like, okay, but only the letter K, we know you're fucked.
You dead, girl. You in danger, girl.
Run, Molly, run.
Then he says, I'm really confused. Same girl as me as well. And then finally he says, I really need to talk. All in capital letters, by the way. And
okay, so she's not getting broken up with, obviously, because it's her brother. So, like, a we need to talk is, like, very serious from a relative.
We really need to talk, just not a... Yeah. So, yeah. And she didn't respond to him, and we don't know what happened afterwards.
When
so.
She's sitting up in that freaking... what are those called? What? Ferris wheel. When she's just chilling on the Ferris wheel. Girl, pick up the phone. Just
at least
call
text
your brother.
Him. Be like, K, thumbs down, like scrunchy face. Yeah.
Busy. Sorry.
I honestly had totally forgotten that happened. Like coming out of the episode, you've kind of forgotten about it by now. And to your point, Sarah, not only is it a blink and you missed it, they didn't even do like the requisite, very common on every TV show. Like first they show you the phone from the angle of the person and then they zoom in on the phone so you can like really read it clearly. They did not do the zoom in from what I remember.
No, they were
trying to like show you but not show you like this thing, but it's way more important that they were playing. It's a little too cute. I think
I will say that I think that for me, a show that shows text messages, I think that the best that I've seen it is the last few episodes of Pretty Little Liars or few seasons where they put the text messages on the screen.
Oh, I love when they do that.
I'm 33 years old. My eyes are going worse and worse by the year. I can't be staring at tiny little screens on your iPhone on the television. I need the large text messages on the screen.
Oh my gosh. I and just picture like Sarah like shaking her fist at the sky being like, make the text bigger.
I have to pause it. I have to stare at it. It was hard. It was really hard.
And the hilarious thing is like they're on the pier, so it's really light out and there's terrible glare on the phone. And it doesn't matter how expensive the camera is. There's no getting rid of the glare of the secondhand phone camera from beyond. Yeah. Like you're getting, there are like two levels of lenses now, whatever, and there's a screen. You're not gonna get it. Just give me the, you can do it the way what was the show, 11 Station 11 did it, where they just put plain text up on the screen as
yes
the great, do that. Yeah. It doesn't have to look fancy.
Yeah. So we yeah,
spent all the budget on the giant Godzilla.
We will get into the bear situation because I have thoughts. Okay,
build a bear, eat your heart out.
I have thoughts on this easy does it bear. All right, let's get into the episode proper. So season 2, episode 7, No Exit. Sarah, would you like to walk us through this episode?
I would.
Okay, you're making eyes.
I would be thrilled to. Yes.
Okay.
So
everyone believes you. Let's go.
So Cassie and Shane are in the car at the docks where the boat is, and they are discussing their friendship. And Shane is debating if he can really have the capacity of being friends with Cassie or not, which I feel like is a valid question. Not only did Cassie mess things up with her significant other, but she's also dragging him into all of this mayhem. So I think like the question of should I be friends with Cassie or not should probably be an easier answered question than Shane is debating. I don't know how you think about that, Ariel, because I think that I would be like, thanks, Cassie. It's been real.
I feel like that's just a test like everyone should be doing when they're walking in the door, like with Cassie, like any of her friends, any of her family, do you want to stay alive? Do you want to stay uninjured? Then maybe rethink your connection to her, period, full stop.
The good news is Cassie does feel bad and Shane doesn't want her to be framed for murder. And Cassie tries to justify all this craziness by saying, you know, I've had like a crazy week. I've been having issues with my family. I've hurt everybody. But the worst part of it, Shane, the worst part of all of this has been hurting you, Shane. Jessica, she had a terrible experience with her mom the other day.
Her mom straight up smacked her in the face. Like, that's a bad week.
Davey is upset with her. But what's worst of all is that Shane is mad at her.
I gotta admit, Shane, I loved him in season 1. I really love him in season 2.
Yeah, I love him too.
I love his like no-nonsense attitude with Cassie, but he's still there for her, even though he like, you could tell he's like, if not for my job, I would not be with this woman right now.
I get that thing. But he does his work. He's good at his job because he's been doing some digging and he's made the correlation that everyone that's died thus far has had contact with Will, the Mark, in Berlin.
Right.
Which is great. We love people that actually solve crimes. And Cassie is suspicious of Benjamin.
I don't understand how Benjamin didn't figure this out. Or maybe he did and he was just like, I'm not going to tell Cassie this. She's on a need-to-know basis and she doesn't need to know this.
On a need-to-know basis. But yeah, Cassie is now totally out on Benjamin Barry and only trusts Dot.
Bad news, right, Ariel? Tell me you're not completely sus on Dot.
I was like, it's too obvious if like she's the copy blonde because she's blonde. She's like I was blonde. Trying to like go through all the people in my head before this, and then it was basically ruined by the previously on, because as soon as this episode started, I was like, oh, it's freaking what's her face. They just showed
this
me
show
her.
The show is so bad with the previous thing.
Oh, I skipped the previous thing.
I skip it. I don't mess around. Anybody, I know this is the last episode coming up, but I advise anybody who watches this show to skip the previously on because they are so spoilery.
Yeah, certainly for the finale. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. They're very spoilery in their previous ons.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if it's, I mean, I feel like Dot is like the easy option, but yeah. And like, so Cassie now, I feel like Dot has incepted Cassie's brain and Dot's like, ooh, you believe me. Benjamin Barry is a hottie, but he's bad.
Yeah. And so that's part of the CIA training.
He's a hottie, but he's a baddie. I was trying to rhyme body. Never mind.
I don't think it worked, but I still loved it because it sounded British.
Yeah.
I'm sounding pretty good.
He's a hottie with a body.
So we're out of the car, and yes. Cassie's telling Shane that Max tracked down the registration number of the slip, which I've learned now is what they call a parking spot for a boat.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's like a dock and a slip.
I knew that the word slip was involved with boats, but I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't want to ask anyone. It's like that thing of like, yeah, the slip, yeah.
It's kind of similar to like, oh, there's like port and there's like starboard?
Starburns. Starburns.
Starburns. I think she's wearing her community sweatshirt. She's accepting this podcast.
She's like, aft and starburns. Those are the two directions.
Port and starburns.
So they come up to the boat, of which was in the Viewmaster, and they automatically see blood on the docks. They go inside and they see three bodies of the CIA agents, and Cassie's freaking out. One of which is, as we know from last episode, is the CIA agent with the cloudy eye. She tells him that he was in Berlin. Shane right away is like, we have to call the cops, while Cassie is saying we need to call the FBI and Dot to fill them in. And
yeah, but like Shane already done told you, Cassie, someone at the CIA is messing with you. Cassie knows that someone messed with her psych eval. Why are you immediately like, I feel like the only person at the CIA she should be trusting right now is Shane. And even that is like questionable at times.
Yeah. And he already told you not to trust anybody else. Like he already told you that something seems weird. So don't trust people. Yeah.
I do want to applaud Cassie for actually wanting to try to call the CIA, because she's done a lot of stuff this season, and none of which it was time. She felt like it was like, oh, I should call the CIA. And finally she was like, oh, but I should call the CIA. Time. But now's not the time. It's very confusing. It's honestly hard to keep up.
If I'm Shane, I'm throwing her overboard. Like, she does not listen.
That's the only way she won't be in the way.
Yes, because he's like, listen, don't touch anything. This is a crime scene. Cassie, let me repeat. Don't touch anything. This is a crime scene. I'm going to call the cops. Stop freaking out. First of all, she calls Dot. Bad news. Second of all, she picks up the glove. I could not believe
it. Yeah, Sarah, so she sees her red glove that she lost in Berlin and picks it up, which if anybody's seen one episode of Law and Order, you don't pick up any evidence in the room. You leave it be. You don't want your little paws on the glove. It doesn't matter if you're like super worried that having the glove there will make you guilty. It doesn't matter. Don't touch it. Somebody else's evidence could be on it. If you touch it, then your DNA is going to be on it. So I just don't understand why her first reaction would be picking it up. But I think that
the idea that she's just like, this is mine. She makes
my glove. Oh, the missing set. Oh, now I know. Right.
Yeah, she's like, maybe, you know what? Maybe that's it. Maybe she really wanted the full set again.
Well, the other thing is, did she ever get the one back from the Echo Park murders? Because if not, then girl, what do you need with a single glove anyway? Are you Michael Jackson? Then you don't need one glove.
Yeah, I mean, it's really upsetting when you're missing a mitten. Like pretty.
I mean, it's more upsetting when you're being framed for murder.
That's true.
My best friend and I always like say, we always point at gloves on the street and we're like, oh, innocence lost. Like when there's one glove. Like, oh, so sad.
I love Tom Hanks's Instagram is just a plethora of lost mittens and playing cards.
I'm sorry. That's what Tom Hanks does on his Instagram.
Can I be that famous?
He prays. I was going to say, like, he pays someone to do that problem.
No, I really think that
don't
Tom Hanks
do that,
does
that.
I get it.
I really don't, do think that Tom Hanks does it. He always and then he always signs off his Instagram as X Hanks, N-H-A-N-X. He's very edgy, very artsy.
Wait,
Tom
what?
Hanks. whatever. Hanks, it doesn't matter.
Like X instead of KS at the end of Hanks.
Why does he do that?
That's because he's edgy and cool.
Because he's not a regular Hanks. He's a cool Hanks.
He's a cool Hanks. So Shane knows right away that these bodies have been dead for less than 6 hours. Cassie's definitely making this all about her. So she flashes to the Mind Palace and You're So Vain is playing.
I love this song. Anybody who's seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days knows how brilliant this song is. All speaking of another Benjamin Barry, just saying, go check out that film.
Yeah. Great fight. Yeah. No spoilers.
Yeah, so the depressed Cassie, I don't know which one we're calling this.
Black hole Cassie.
Well, they're all kind of black hole Cassies now.
I have a question. Do we think that eventually they just were like, we're tired of having Kaylee Cuoco have to change all the time, so we're just going to make the Mind Palace versions of her just the same as the regular version, but just throw some extra black eyeliner on.
Yeah, I think that they... I love the idea of gold dress Cassie and black hole Cassie and bathtub Cassie and all the Cassies. But I do think now it's just they're all black hole Cassie. It's really hard to keep up with which one's which.
I think they should have done like wig Cassies where it's like all they have to do is like change your wig. And it's probably like a lot easier, right? To change your wig. Maybe not. Maybe
well, we've seen the wig budget on this show. Yeah, so
well, that's what I'm saying.
$5 from Amazon.
Yeah. If they're changing the wigs all the time, then you don't need to make them look fancy because they're like cartoonish already. I do like that they're all like being, you know, infected by the darkness in the like the metaphorical way, but yeah, I kind of miss the also what's the little girl Cassie doing? Is she still building something?
She's dragging real life Cassie around saying, come with me.
Yeah,
she brought her upstairs.
Yeah.
So she basically Cassie is now worried because she thinks that all these people are dead because of her. As we mentioned before, she finds the red glove, picks it up, calls Dot's office, even though Shane told her not to, but why would she listen? And the receptionist is like, can't speak to Dot right now. She's talking to more important people than you.
I love not even the like, let me go give her a memo and see if she wants. No one can be. You're not important. I don't care who you are.
Yeah. She's in a meeting with very important people. You can't speak with her, but you may speak to Benjamin Barry. And Cassie's like, no, don't need to speak to him. No. And then she takes the glove while Shane is on the phone with police. And then we cut to
Shane
opening credits.
Saw it there. Like, who do you think you're going to hide this from? I don't understand this move at all.
It's selfish. It's fully selfish. She does not want this to go to be blamed for her. So instead of leaving evidence, making the case probably easier, or, you know, a clue or anything, she's so selfish and so vain that she's just worried about herself and she has to take the glove and protect herself. That's what she's worried about at this moment.
Her hand is cold. She's like, I need this glove back. It will be more. No, but I mean, but I think it totally makes sense that she, you know, after like PTSD from season one of like, oh, I'm going to get blamed for stuff, that she would be like trying to get out of stuff here. But
yeah,
I kind of cared more back then. Now I'm just like, where's Davey? Bring Davey back.
What's Davey up to? And then Ariel, I have to ask you because Sarah and I have been kind of out on the Megan stuff as of late. What are your feelings? Because you watched everything more on a binge. So how do you feel about Megan's storyline for season two thus far?
Oh, Megan, I have to just say, like anytime I see Rosie Perez on screen, I just light up like immediately. I just think, oh my God, I'm so excited to just be seeing her in anything. Mm-hmm. And watching her in season one, especially towards the end, or even in the beginning when all this stuff was happening, I'm like, what is this all for? And in retrospect, it's almost like this thing that we're going to only really utilize in season two that we're introducing in season one, which is kind of cool. But all to say that like Rosie Perez deserves better. This storyline is like okay, like anytime she's with Bill or with her son, I really feel it, you know, like the connection is being sold, the emotion, but I just don't get it. And then she kills the Korean guy. I'm like, where's this going? And you're really run, even for me, who's a fan, like you're really running out of like runway with my care here.
Yeah. Once again, for me, so we're at this part where she's in a parking garage and she's watching her son Eli, who she clearly misses and wants to be with. Mm-hmm. But instead of what, in my opinion, would be the better thing to do, turn herself in, think about your family first. You'll be able to visit your son when he visits you in prison. It's not ideal, but it's better than endangering your son and running, constantly running from not only the authorities, but from the North Koreans. So she's watching him, which once again, if you know you're being watched, why would you watch your son to put not only yourself in danger, but also your son? Because you're in vicinity of them. He's following you, this guy. That's how he knows about Eli. So she's watching Eli and the North Korean agent comes and is basically like, you know, you've been doing a good job evading us, but we've been following you the whole time. And we've also been following your son. And he knows all about the swim team and his job and all this stuff. And she's begging him, like, please, like, can I get out of this? Like, please don't touch my son. Like, can I get, and he's like, you know, this is like a really easy job to get into, but it's has a hard exit policy and no exit policy. So she decides that she lures him to the trunk of this car and is like, here's the, this is where my flash drives are, my information, take it. And the fact that she's like, hey, you physically take.
Yeah. What guy. A rookie move for him to lean in.
Yeah. When I was like, there was a beat, Ariel, where I was like, yeah, like this is definitely what's going to go down. Like they're like, you know, he was like, okay, I guess I'll go in the trunk and like reach in so that you can shut the whole thing on my back and then hit me with a crowbar.
To me, it was like the watching the personification of like the final vestiges of realism in the storyline just being murdered. Mm. Like
just like, fluttering away.
I'm like, no, don't make her do this. Because to your point, they do telegraph it, like what's about to happen or the possibility of it. And I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. No, Rosie, no.
Yeah, she shuts the trunk door on his back and then hits him with a crowbar. And then this tiny Rosie Perez, this tiny girl, lifts this body into the trunk of the car and closes it behind her. For That's me, right. it was
New
just
York born and bred right there.
It was just like it was just like too cute by half. Like I already am like not really here for this storyline. I don't really like the storylines that pull us away from Cassie because that to me is where like the heart of the show is. If it has to do with like Megan and Cassie's relationship and friendship, I tend to enjoy it a little bit more. But the actual Megan storyline, I'm kind of like, all right, can we be done? Can we have her either arrested or like something else by now? And so it just was like, we all knew what was going to happen in that scene. And then again, it felt like we were kind of wasting time. Like this was the shortest episode of the season. And I felt like a lot of that, it's precious time. And so I mean, I don't even know how long this cop scene with Megan went on for, but it felt like a really long time.
Do you, was this Cherry's car? I was having a hard time remembering. It was the same car.
She bought the car from her.
She bought the car.
Yeah, she gave her that stock. She gave her like the wad of cash and she was like, for that car. It was like super subtle. And it's like, for that car. She's like, oh, cool. I'll just buy a new one then.
Sure.
No, I wasn't even being sarcastic. It was 20. It was
Cherry,
like too subtle.
I gotta be really real with you, Cherry. It's 2022. There are no cars anywhere to be found. It's really, really hard to buy a car in 2022. You will not be buying a car with a wad of cash. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, where is she going? And also, just to go back to that for a second, where if you're Rosie Perez's character, trying to stay kind of incognito, that's the car you're going to be rolling around in.
Yeah, not this a red bright car. Red sports not car. A red car. You will get yourself a black car, a Honda Civic, or a Toyota Camry. That's a nobody's car.
No, offense. Oh my gosh, you're insulting everybody with those cars. That's a nobody's car.
Like, you're incognito in that car.
That's okay, you're more, it's a subtle car. You shouldn't say that. Car. That's a car for crappy people.
I didn't say that. That was definitely upset.
That's what I heard you say. Roll back the tape.
What I did say, actually, was that Cassie is outside the boat, just like, you know, looking, staring off into the distance, wondering how she got herself into this position. And guess who's there, Jessica? Guess who's there? Jenny.
I can't with Jenny. This girl, if she is not somehow involved, I'm like, girl, what are you doing here? Yeah. Literally all the time she's like, hey girl, I got a police scanner, decided to come to the crime scene and see some dead bodies, fun party.
Listen, we're all on podcasts, we don't be going to crime scenes and like,
yeah. No, thank you. I have enough trauma in my life without actually like giving myself some more by seeing dead bodies.
Yeah, I mean, I still want to just believe that this is just a way for the show to discuss how podcasters are the worst. And I would say, yeah, you're probably right about that.
But
she says,
I love that Davey. Yeah, Davey was the only one that was like, oh, great, I love podcasts. And everyone else was like, go to hell.
Oh, yeah, stupid podcast. Anybody can have a podcast these days.
Yeah, they'll give anybody a microphone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's only $99 on Amazon.com.
We're also not sponsored by Big Microphone, so
Big Microphone. So she's definitely there just to get the scoop for her podcast. She has a police scanner and she goes around LA following the police scanner. And Cassie kind of like chastises her because Jenny So Jenny's inappropriately joyous and light at this murder scene, and I think that she's being very insensitive about the fact that there's real bodies. And I think like that's also a narrative on kind of how media handles these cases and, you know, serious cases in general. Like, for example, the thing that stands out in my head right now is that there is a domestic violence case going on that's very nationally public between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and people are making fun of it, making TikToks about it, and it's on Saturday Night Live. It's serious. It might be a little silly, it seems, at times, but I think it's kind of a narrative that, like, people don't remember that there's behind these stories that you see on a podcast or the news, there's actually real people behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's easy to like get lost in the layers of it, but it's real. I mean, now I heard I don't remember where it was, I read or someone told me that like now they're talking about potentially doing a televised or a scripted version of the Serial season one story.
The first
thing I thought of was like, oh god, the poor family of this victim, like to like have to like, now see this potentially again. Yeah, it's rough.
I mean, I could totally see that being the reason for like Jenny to exist. I just know the actress, and so that's why I'm so dubious on like this show is really good at giving us multiple suspects to look at. And I like ultimately, even though it is a like murder mystery type of show, I feel like the heart of the show and Cassie's story and Cassie's like struggles with sobriety is really like more of like the mantra or like the gist of the show is that the mystery, because I feel like we could pick things like, oh, this is going to happen, and oh, this person's good, this person's bad, easier, you know what I mean?
I just can't see Jenny being the big bad after all of this.
That would be so funny if she was.
We know she that takes Grace off, is...
she takes off like her wig and she's bald and she's wearing like the Heisenberg hat. She's like, I am the one who knocks. Like she's breaking up.
Say my name. Yeah.
It's Jenny. You can't have a big bad who's named Jenny. I don't think it works.
Yeah. So Jenny says, all you do is talk down to me and lecture me. And then she kind of throws it back onto Cassie and is like actually saying, excuse me, but like, what are you doing here? And she gets a call and takes it and leaves. And I couldn't help but wonder, what's the likelihood that the person on the phone is Davey, or at least somebody that we know?
Ooh, interesting.
I'm still in on the theory that her boyfriend is Buckley.
I did like that theory.
I love that theory.
Yeah.
The theory that Jenny's Buckley, who we know from season one.
Buckley.
Ugh, creepy Buckley.
Like there is him. A lot of like mimicking of Cassie. Like they took off the sunglasses at the same time. They're holding certain things the same way. There's definitely a mirroring that is off-putting that Cassie's Ooh. Catching on to. So I will say there is something up with Jenny. Do I think that she's behind this? I mean, Grace specifically says in this episode, this is beyond me. This is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. And I just can't see it being like, what's bigger is like Jenny's behind it all. Like, I kind of feel like she's up to something, but it's not the overarching mystery of the season. If it is, I will eat my words and leave this podcast
with some milk. I can't see it. Sarah, I'm sitting here listening to you and I feel like you sussing it out like that. I think she's just like, she clearly has some kind of like obsession, right, with Cassie. Yes. And like she met with Davey and she's like hiding behind this podcast thing. Like maybe she's following her. I think there's something about like her wanting to either be her, maybe not single white female, but like there's something that she's after from Cassie.
Well,
and
she
like
says that.
Clearly it's in the history. Yeah, right. And it's like, you're famous from Bangkok, whatever, you know, season one stuff. So yeah, but what does she want? That is the ultimate question.
Yeah, that's still probably one of our biggest mysteries that we have thus far.
Well, we do have one more episode. That's the thing. This is the penultimate episode of season two. So I imagine that, because again, penultimate episodes nowadays tend to be almost like finales in themselves. Like they tend to have a lot of content. And it was strange to me that their penultimate episode is the shortest episode of the season. Mm. Granted, it was action packed, right? Like we're at the fair, or not the fair. Is it a fair?
It's literally an amusement park on the pier.
Amusement park.
It's an amusement park. We're at an amusement park. There's a lot going on. And yet the episode was really short. So I imagine the finale is probably going to be on the longer side. Like I imagine it has to be around an hour, if not more.
That would make sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever the norm. Yeah. Somewhere between like 45 and an hour, which is like normal for them.
Yeah.
But you're forgetting, you mentioned our biggest mystery. You know, I think the biggest mystery is yet to come, that the dinosaur teddy bear that we see.
Who Big is teddy she? Bear. What does she want?
Look into her eyes.
Yeah. We are back at Cassie's adorable apartment. Annie and Max are there. Will they ever go back to New York? Only time will tell. Shane's there too.
I hope they stay.
Shane's there too. And Annie is kind of being like, why are you involving Shane into this? He's just a flight attendant. And Cassie says, he's not just a flight attendant. He's a CIA agent too.
And I love Shane getting so mad. He's like, Cassie, we just talked. We literally just talked about
over this. But she says, this is the last people I will tell. I promise.
I can't. Like, get your stuff together.
The fact that he here is like giving any credence to anything she says, as far as like, I'm not gonna do that again, it's just like laughable. Like even earlier in the boat where she's like, I'm not gonna do that, and then like here, like, you can't go to the water, I'm not gonna do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, she's
like,
impossible.
Stop believing
she's
her
impossible. So Cassie shows Shane the flight the viewfinder, and he once again kind of speculates that he thinks every person that will die that's been associated with Will and who is in the viewfinder, which is like, yeah, Shane, like we figured that out like a bazillion years ago, but thanks for sharing the obvious. And he says, I believe that you are the next person to die. You are the next mark. Cassie is really upset about this. She gets a phone call and runs to the bathroom, which Annie says my favorite line in the episode. Oh, she's going to the bathroom where everything secret and important happens and goes. I was like, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
That tracks.
Yeah. And we're kind of like weaving back the storylines here, because she gets a call from Megan, who's like, you have to help me because there's a North Korean in my trunk. And she's just like, listen, I need to talk. You know, she finds out about Shane because she had looked through the guy's phone. And so she knows that Shane was trying to track her. And she's like, listen, you have to talk to Shane. And I want to get safety. I have like a ton of evidence. So you're the one who has to schedule a meeting. And I'm like, you need to call someone else, Megan, because Cassie's kind of busy right now trying not to die.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad timing.
I'm not going to lie. If I had a lot of stuff going on and somebody calls me and was like, I have a North Korean in my trunk, I need you to help me. But like, yeah, babe, it's not a great time.
It's not. Yeah, it's my, not a good time. My refrigerator is running. I have to go. Like literally any excuse.
Yeah, especially because I was kind of like, when Cassie just like hangs up because Megan, there's a cop that pulls up behind Megan. I was kind of like, you know what? Good.
I was hoping that it was like, hi, like you are literally a person of interest and there's a federal warrant out for your arrest. Please just take her. But no, it was just because she was sitting in the shoulder.
Is this okay, Sarah, you live in Jersey. Is this a real life law?
So the issue was you cannot park or drive in the shoulder. Yes, of course, you can't drive in the shoulder. When typically, if you're parked in the shoulder, that means that there's an issue with your car.
She should have put her hazards on.
I, who do not drive, said to myself, like, would it have helped if she put her hazard lights on?
Put the hazards on.
Because I feel like, you know, when the cop comes up to her and they're like, what are you doing here? If I'm Megan, I would have been like, oh, I'm sorry. I had to take a phone call and I know we're not supposed to, like, be on the phone and drive. And so I just pulled over to take a phone call. You seem responsible.
I don't know if you're supposed to take phone calls in the shoulder. What she should have said was,
it's my agent. It's my agent. It's out of role.
I do think that she could have been like, yeah, I think I'm having some car problems and I'm like having my husband come and help me out.
What if you said something like, like, I have IBS, and it's, like, a bit of an emergency.
No, Jessica, that's too much information for the cop.
Hold on. Yes,
you're allowed to be.
Always say that. People don't like talking about this stuff, so always say
People
that.
Don't want to talk about their poop.
I want to shout out Marissa, the Discord, who said that she was giving, like, Carmen Sandiego vibes, and I totally agree, like, her outfit. But this is, like,
always.
It's, I don't know. Like, would it have been less suspicious? I guess so. But then, like, you're also drawing more attention. I don't know.
You're allowed to be in the shoulder if you actually have a valid issue to be in the shoulder. She could have lied and just said, I thought that my car was having issues. That's it. Like, the cop would come up to you and be like, hey, are you okay? Like, is there anything I can do? But you won't go get arrested. So the cop is like, hey, give me your license and registration. Obviously, she doesn't have a license nor a registration. Well, she should have a registration because if Cherry was responsible,
we're not trusting Cherry to be responsible.
They just drugged a woman and ran away. Okay. There's no registration. She should have a license at least, but obviously.
Well, no, she doesn't have a license because she doesn't have any ID on her.
She has Hildeberg. She has Hildeberg.
True. So she gets asked to leave the car, and then essentially what Megan does is manipulate the situation. She sees that this cop is a mother and she relates to her and gives a sob story about how she was on the way to the airport to try to reconnect with her son who she's lost a connection with. And this pulls at the cop's heartstrings and sadly lets her go. I mean, all of us really wanted to see Megan arrested.
I wanted to see her arrested. I was full on ready for this storyline to be done with. I'm like, arrest her.
I'm not ready for get her. I'm not ready for Rosie Perez in the prison garb. I'm not. But
yeah, but she tried to bribe the cop. Ariel.
No bribe.
She
no
did
bribe.
Tried to bribe the cop.
She said,
just because she said no bribe.
She said no bribesies. This is not a bribesies. This segment is sponsored by C's. Yes.
It's like
not
the
a bribe.
Same exact thing as when you ask someone if they're a cop and they have to say yes. If you say no bribesies, then it's not a bribe.
Well, she was smart because she used something that had come earlier in the conversation, aka 10 seconds before. And she used it to be like, oh, we connected about the selling, so maybe I could sell yours for you, teehee, knowing that it would like never actually be a thing. Because like the cop would never be like, oh yeah, I hate these. Like, please sell them for me. You potential criminal. But I do love this moment. Like, as much as I hate the storyline, like the moment from her of just like genuinely emoting and like really trying to connect with this woman, and like she's so good at that, and it's a beautiful moment for her. I wish I cared more about the general storyline.
You felt like it was genuine. Story. It just, for me, it felt so manipulative.
Well, certainly manipulative, but I mean, like, it's that thing where like you're manipulating, but you're using this force that is real, which is like your how horrible you feel because of what's happening.
It's like when they say, like, you start a lie with, like, a nugget of truth.
Exactly,
like, she genuinely feels that way about her son, and she genuinely wants to reconnect with him. And so she's using that to force the tears out of her eyeballs.
Right.
I did appreciate the acting in this scene. I just don't care about this storyline is the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we're flashing back to Cassie, who is in her clawfoot tub with a box of hot tamales, and Annie comes in and tries to console her, and Cassie's worried about her mortality. She's feeling like she's going to die soon. She can't get those dead bodies out of her mind. She's had like a really tumultuous few days. She talks about her very horrible conversation with her mother, where her mom looks her straight into the eyes and says, I don't like you. And then Cassie comes to realize that she doesn't like herself either. And I feel like this is so relatable as well. You know, having your own demons, realizing like, do you even like the person that you are, who you've become? Especially Cassie, who's, you know, is having a really hard time of finding something that she likes about herself and respects about herself. Sad. And
I think she's also kind of taking on all of the death that's been happening around her. She does feel like somewhat responsible for impersonating her. And so I think at this point, where she just relapsed, like she literally just relapsed, she got back from a really traumatizing family gathering. And I just think like, yeah, she's going to be a really tough spot mentally. And then I think she knows someone's coming after her, and part of her is like, do I actually deserve this? You know, am I worth keeping alive at this point? A lot of the Mind Palace stuff focuses on that. And I just think it's such an effective storytelling method for Cassie. That's why I really prefer season two over season one, if I'm being honest, is because I prefer to see Cassie interacting with versions of herself in her mind, even though we did love Hottie with a cold body in season one. I don't know. I don't know. Ariel, how did this scene work for you?
I think I agree with you first. Like, I preferred season one overall, but I think the season two, like, between, I wondered in my head about like, oh, did he not want to do it? Like, it also kind of doesn't matter story wise, like him as a character doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
But like their solution to it, of it being her, I think was so smart, and it makes so much sense. And like, they can still use the device. I think here it is, it does hit really hard. And like we talked about earlier, how like there's less differences between the different versions of her now, and like there's a reason for that. And like here she's like we all have this like dark Cassie within us, right? And like,
yeah,
hers gets like really powerful here, for lack of a better word. And like, to your point, Sarah, it like matters what you're in those moments, or in these kinds of moments, believing about yourself, because we're all telling ourselves stories, right? About ourselves, whether they're quote unquote true or not. And it's sad to see, but like, it's really almost like normalizing in a way that I think is at least positive.
Yeah. I was actually speaking to my therapist about that the other day, and she kind of said, you know, you don't grow up to, like, you know, these thoughts don't come out of nowhere. It usually stems from somebody in some sort of way putting that onto you. So if you're, you know, if you think about yourself, I'm not smart, like I'm really, I'm dumb or whatever, it's, it usually stems from like somebody presenting that onto you. And I think like for Cassie, it's like, you know, her family didn't like made only her father made her feel special. And he, you know, even that was warped, and he was drunk, and like the way that they bonded was through drinking. So she feels as though she doesn't even deserve to be here. She doesn't, when all these other people are dying, like in this episode, she's like, it should be me, which is, you know, it's hard. It's, this is what, like, you know, depression and anxiety manifests itself as a lot of the times.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting because even though this is a show about sobriety in a lot of ways and like the recovery process and all of that, it really does also have so many parallels with depression and anxiety and how your brain manifests those things. Like I literally said to my therapist this week, I was like, my anxiety feels like a parasite. It finds something to latch onto and it just sucks it dry. And it's, it can be exhausting. And that's how this feels, where like you could literally look at the different Cassies in the Mind Palace and label them differently, right? You could call Black Hole Cassie Depression Cassie, because that's what it feels like, you know? I just love that this show, I'm sure many people probably somewhere in any type of recovery process can relate to it. But I also feel like mental health wise, there's just so many relatable things in this show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and it's something that you don't really expect going into this show. It's, you know, you look at the previews of it and you're like, oh, this like seems like a fun mystery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really, really deep. So Max knocks on the door and he has come to figure out the last photo is actually a ride at the Santa Monica Pier. And he rationalizes that the next murder has to be today because the pier is closing down for a month. And the murders have been like, you know, expediting. It's getting closer in between each other. So today is the most likely day. Also, at the same time, Max notices the bloody knife that was planted by the double on the upper shelf. Mm-hmm. And then, I can't believe it, Cassie goes and surprise, surprise, touches it.
She was like, oh, is this my other glove? And she goes to grab it.
This is my other glove. This is my missing kitchen knife. I don't know. And also, by the way, and the amazing portrait of Cassie is like hung back up when she actually just smashed it, but whatever. She touches the knife and everyone's like, don't touch the knife. Shane goes running to the back door, realizes that somebody jimmied the lock, and then like puts the knife in plastic. Basically, they come to realize that the murderer was in the house. They let themselves in.
Wah, wah.
Lock your doors, everyone.
You said that they jimmied the lock, so the doors were locked, apparently. Okay,
Sarah, you're not making anybody feel better right now.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah,
lock your doors.
Yeah, Sarah's like, it doesn't matter if you try to lock your doors because they can just jimmy them. They're just going to come in anyway. Or Sarah them, matter. As I will always say now. They can just Sarah the locks.
We're back in the Mayan Palace. Cassie's holding the bloody knife, and she's encouraging herself to go to the pier and put herself in a dangerous spot because she, in her mind, deserves to go be there. She deserves to put herself in a dangerous position. She deserves to die. So,
and this is such a great example of like what we were talking about of like that really awful self-talk of you don't deserve good things. You're not worthy. You deserve to die. You don't bring anything to the table, right? Like, this is, and we do get, I love HBO. We love disclaimers on shows. They put a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode. I thought this was for that, or excuse me, I thought the disclaimer was for this scene because it is such negative self-talk. It's talking about self-harm. When you think about it, this is Cassie in her mind encouraging herself to go to a place where she is going to die. So really well executed, I thought, to just have, especially the moment where they have Black Hole Cassie, like literally kind of like whispering in Cassie's ear, almost like kind of like the devil on her shoulder, yeah, in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's very Scarlet Witch almost.
Like, yeah,
whispering.
So Cassie insists on going to the pier. Shane at first is like, no, you cannot come, but she kind of insists.
Honestly, if someone was like, you're gonna die today at the pier, I'm like, great, I'm sitting on my couch all day.
Yeah, me too. I'd be like, no, you know what? I will stay. I'm not going to, you know, this is not a prophecy that I need to follow.
This is crazy. But to that point, Sarah, you just said prophecy. And that's what I was about to say of like, in this situation, in these kinds of situations, it's so crazy to me, like whether it's something like Harry Potter or like I also thought of Dark Jess, where people are like, oh, it's not. And at least in Harry Potter, they talked about it where it was like, the reason you do it isn't because of the prophecy. It's because you are like bound to or whatever, like forced to because of the situation. And like here it's like literally today's the only day it could happen because they're gonna close, and she's like, well, I gotta go. I gotta be there, I can't miss it.
Exactly. It's because it just reminds me of the plane crash when she was a child. The plane crashed and she ran to it, she ran to the danger. It's the same exact thing. She doesn't learn from her mistakes. She doesn't stop running towards danger, stop running towards bad situations. She just keeps on doing the same thing. Annie says that she doesn't want to go. She takes a box cutter, which we'll get there, but not the best weapon that you could take.
You're not Giancarlo Esposito, okay? You are not Gus Fring, Cassie. Like, stop it.
It was the smallest box cutter.
Wasn't going to do anything.
It was nearly an X-Acto knife.
The best weapon is the one you have within reach.
Is that like a saying? Is that
from something? No, I just made that up. It really sounded
like you said it with conviction. I fully believe that.
I was selling it. I was selling it just like
you're pulling at Grace's X's and O's and being like, this is a real thing.
I don't have a lot of good weapons.
I was convincing the cop not to arrest
me. Oh, let's
me.
Play a game. What is the thing you could weaponize the easiest that is within arm's reach?
Ooh.
Letter opener.
So I have, letter opener is good. I have one of these like electric lighters. I don't know if this would burn anybody though, because it's not like actual flame.
Okay, here's what I have. Listen to me.
What do you have?
I have the bottom of a water bottle cap. Now, that may not sound like much, but they're really like sharp, like that perforated part that like splits from the plastic that's holding it in place. You can drag that along somebody's underarm.
Oh my God.
I'm just
thought
saying
too much about this. I also have I have candle wick trimmers.
That looks way more dangerous than it sounds.
They're kind of like scissors. And
scissors
I also have
plus.
Nail clippers. So.
Well, Jessica is very Violin. Dangerous.
I have a screw as well, but it screws really good because like Ariel's saying, just find a soft fleshy part in your nails.
Okay, I have a theory about screws and nails, by the way. Do you think that anybody ever buys screws and nails, or do you think that they just show up at your house? Because I have a theory that you never buy a screw nor a nail.
Yes,
they just show
buy.
Up.
Have you been to a Home Depot or a Lowe's?
I've never bought a nail or a screw in my life. They just manifest in my home.
I think it's that thing where like, It's the kind of thing, since they never go bad, right? Like they get passed down, you know, you just like inherit them either from family or from friends or whatever. Yeah. You move roommates.
You just never, nobody ever buys a screw nor a nail. Okay. So case closed. Yeah. Everybody leaves. Max and Annie are told that they have to stay because Shane says it's not a fifth grade field trip. And then they go anyway. And then Annie is like, oh, I can understand why Cassie doesn't listen to me ever.
And no one is surprised, or they shouldn't be, right? Yeah. Just like earlier in the episode, you told her, you better listen to me this time, almost two full seasons later. You're like, all right.
Yeah. You know what? Right now is a great time to go on a fifth grade field trip and hear a word from our friends, our sponsors. What do you think, Jess?
Is it Tommy Bahama Beach Chairs?
Yeah, actually, that's our sponsor. Yes. Make sure you go to your local www.TommyBahama.com or your local Costco, where you can get your very own elite Tommy Bahama beach chair. Only $50 to $80, depending on where you go.
And now people are going to be like, I thought that was the ad.
Wow, that was a great Tommy Bahama ad. Totally. And if you didn't hear a Tommy Bahama ad, we're so sorry that it's you know, maybe you're just not near a beach.
Yeah. Did you have fun at our fifth grade field trip to the National History Museum?
I don't know that I've ever been to the National History Museum.
Oh, well, that stinks for you.
Sorry for you.
I feel really sorry for you.
My gosh.
We're not there, but we are at the Santa Monica Pier, where Shane tells Cassie to listen to him and be on high alert. Meanwhile, Cassie is not listening to him and is instead receiving a text message from Megan that says, on my way.
How is Megan able to just be like getting on planes and stuff when she's a wanted woman?
We do not know. Listen, she should
Carmen
be on the no-fly
San Diego
list.
Can get anywhere she needs to go.
She just puts a hat on and she's invisible.
That's why they're, you can never see her face, right? She's always like half.
Yeah,
back, it's like, part of the curtain bangs.
See you later, tiger. She just, I mean, if she couldn't get anywhere, then she wouldn't be Carmen Sandiego, right? So
that's true. So Cassie decides to use this time to talk to Shane about Megan and essentially say, hey, like, can we arrange a meeting with Megan? And she's like, I really don't have time for this. I need you to sit at this bench and stay here while I look.
What a terrible idea. First of all, you know Cassie. You know
she's not going to do it. Yeah, if I was Shane, I would get one of those kids' leashes.
Backpack leashes. Yes.
Yes.
I'm with
and
you.
And she would be toting around behind me.
I didn't even have like a backpack leash. We just had like an outright like leash kind of leash. Like it was,
you were leashed as a child?
Okay, listen, hold on. I need to do this.
Free Ariel.
It was very charming. It was like it was an elastic band that went around my waist, and it was super stretchy throughout. So it just like those dog ones, you can get real far by yourself.
Good.
And it just, you know, it just kept you. I never really got pulled. It was more about just like getting out of, staying within a certain range of the parental unit.
Did you do the thing where you just like ran in between like your parents' legs just to get them all tied up like dogs do?
You know, now that I think about it, I don't believe that we wouldn't have tried. We may have gotten yelled at and very quickly would have stopped. But yeah, I feel like to not do that would have been a waste of the whole situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on board with you. But yeah, this is terrible. This is terrible to be like, Cassie, sit, stay. Never gonna happen.
No.
And then she gets and so he like leaves, and then she gets the texts from Davey that are, hey, I'm really confused. Call me, Kay. I really need to talk.
I feel as though this has to do with Jenny. This one I feel like might have to do with Jenny. I think that the phone call that Jenny received could have been from Davey. I think this can be connected. I feel like that makes sense. Or is it not Davey really texting? I don't know.
I didn't think of that. But now all of a sudden I'm struggling. I can only hear the survivor quote. Where is Davey?
Where is he?
I'm so worried.
Why is he still in California? Is he at the farmer's market? Will he ever leave it?
Was she stalking him at the farmer's market? Yeah.
Who was the honey guy? We never saw the honey guy again.
The
so many questions. Yeah. Cassie looks around and sees her double enter the arcade and follows him. After texting Shane, like, BRB, see my devil.
This is so stupid. I can't.
It's
Let me
dumb.
Just run off after my double by myself.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. I don't know. So we're flashing over to Annie and Max, who arrive at the pier, and they're looking for Cassie, and the couple is there, the Wiggy couple. What's their names? I don't know.
It's Wiggy 2, Rocco, Wig 2, Rocco, Wig.
I hate them.
Esteban and Gabrielle.
I've been calling them Frickin' Frack in my head.
I like that better. They're following. They are following Max and Annie. Cassie goes into this area that's a carousel, and she follows her double onto the carousel. And this is a very dizzying scene. And she's like going around and she's getting dizzy. And she sees herself and the horse turns around and looks at her.
She was like drugged because this was all very trippy and it's not very jarring. Cassie is usually when we see Cassie doing this, she's just going into like the mind palace and then coming out of it. She was actually like seeing things. And later when we see Ben and Shane like bend over, I thought they were about to vomit from also being drugged. Like I thought there was a whole poison situation. I'm like, oh, who got slipped acid?
I was like, is this the mushrooms again? Who got, when did?
Oh no, not the mushrooms, too many mushrooms.
When did what's her name get back? I thought she was still in the room.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I understand like carnivals and carousels and fairs and amusement parks are always a little bit creepy because, you know, the funhouse mirrors, there's always like these shapes and bright colors. It's a little like, you know, jarring. But yeah, this was like super, super weird for me. And she jumps into her mind palace where there's like hundreds of her. And, you know, they once again are continuing this self-talk that's like, you're not supposed to be here. You're the one that's supposed to die. All these horrible things. Her double gets off the carousel and she follows. I do want to say the double, very agile, just hops over the fence like it's like no big deal. Yeah. Yeah. Good for her. And then this is the time where Dot calls her back and she says, hey, you're doing a great job as a non-CIA agent. Thank you for all of the evidence that you've collected. And thank you for trusting me in this. And this is where I was like, yeah, like Dot seems kind of sus, right, Jess?
Dot is 100% sus. And at this point, that's the thing. At this point, they know we're sus on Dot, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's so obvious at this point that it's not Ben.
Right, yeah.
And so I feel like they're just trying to say, like, yeah, it's Dot. And we know you know, and you know we know you
they
know.
They kind of need us to be sus of Dot in order for, like, you to care about the plot at this point. Or in order for you to care about Dot as a character at this point.
Yeah.
Because they've taken it too far now that now they have to be like, okay, we're doing one final pass. We're making sure that everyone's paying attention. Nobody's looking at their phone.
Yeah, not like Cassie.
Yeah.
So she says, if you see Benjamin, do not engage with him. It's not safe for you to be at this pier. And I am on the way. And then
I'm on the way. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, of course, Benjamin is right there and is like, hey, Cassie, stop. But Cassie's running away and she runs to the Ferris wheel to get away from Benjamin. And she's a line cutter, Jessica. I hate line cutters.
She straight up budged everyone. Here's the thing. The last thing I want to do is go on a ride and be stuck somewhere.
This was not
with
the
someone
move.
That's chasing me.
Yeah.
No, you know what you do? You go to the most crowded place you could find, and then you scream, "This person's chasing me!"
Right? Yeah,
that's the move.
These shows, whenever you're at like a carnival, you either, you know, go on the first ride like she did, or you go into the fun house, which is a terrible idea because there's all those mirrors, and then you see like bad guys chasing you. It's a terrible time. There is security every which way. Go to the security.
Yeah.
But Cassie doesn't want to do that.
She's like, I want to get back on the ride. Woo, yeah, one more time. Like,
am I the drama?
She is the drama. She is.
How great is this ride?
Yeah, but like Benjamin's just going to be theoretically waiting for her as soon as she gets on the ride. So it's not a long-term plan. I don't know about
that. I wonder like if it's even better just to pull out the box cutter at that point and be like, if you come near me, I'll cut you. Although he probably has a gun, so never mind. Bringing a box cutter to a gunfight. So she just jumps all these lines and she goes on
the Ferris wheel.
Ferris wheel. Yeah. And I was like, the last ride, even if I went on a ride, the last ride I'd go on is the ride that I'm supposed to die on. Like,
oh, yeah.
The picture was of the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I'm not going on the Ferris wheel.
Not the brightest.
She was bound to it. Well, yeah, or she was drawn to it. It's almost like she had, you know, when she was running away, she had no interest. The prophecy is fulfilling itself.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so she's just like up on this Ferris wheel, just like staring down at Benjamin. And then we got Gabrielle and Esteban all in white. Like, they could not be more obvious. They're all in white with their bleach blonde hair, just chasing Max and Annie. And Max and Annie with the most, again, a really dumb idea that ends up working for them is, let me just stand in one place in a photo booth. What happens if they find you? Then what?
The good news is that there's two sides of a photo booth, so you can just pop out the other end.
Even still.
Yeah.
Like, and you can do the thing with your double where you're like, oh my God, are we the same? Are we looking in the mirror? Like, they're moving their hands at the same time you are, like a mime. So
yeah. They agree that they can't start a life in this photo booth and grow old together there. So they do come up with a plan.
And they do the classic thing where they're like, oh, we have a plan, and it cuts away from them because we don't, you know,
it's
can't
dangerous and risky.
Like, oh, you don't get to look at the plan. Get out of here.
It does involve a taser.
Uh-huh. She has the taser. So essentially, Max uses himself as bait and makes himself very aware to
he throws some stuffed animals in the air.
Yeah. And they run after Max while Annie runs after them.
Annie is pretty cash about this. She doesn't chase them. She like casually strolls up.
But, you know, she's a woman on a mission. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. It's very like Catwoman almost. Or like,
she's looking so good in those pants. I got to say, she got some good jacket. Mom jeans on.
That jacket looks great.
The leather jacket.
It's that thing where it's like, it's too small to probably close, but like, yes, it looks great. It looks great. Yeah, and it carries a great taser.
I was quite.
Can I tell you, when I first saw her put the taser in her jacket in the apartment, I thought she had put a disposable camera in her jacket. Yeah, I was trying to think of the justification for what she'd be doing with a disposable camera. I'm like, oh, she's gonna take pictures of them.
Yeah,
and then if someone takes her phone, she has a backup. It'll just take 24 hours to get developed. Nobody worry, I have evidence.
Hey, yeah, it takes 24 hours is a long time these days for. We need instant gratification in these days. So
send it away. It's going to be at least like 3 to 5 business days, if we're being honest.
Gosh. Oh, no.
Cassie is on top of the Ferris wheel and sees Benjamin. And then Shane confronts them. And they're both like, what are you doing here? No, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. No, you're not supposed to be here. And it looks in this moment as though Benjamin stabs Shane. And then it looks like Benjamin falls. And it seems as though it's a little hard to kind of figure out what's happening here. Yes. We see it again more closely later in the episode, which I watched back this particular interaction like 5 times. And I'm still not completely sure what happened, but I think I know. I think what happened is that Grace stabbed Shane from the back,
like and kidney slice.
Stabbed Benjamin from the front. She is there if you look closely, but then there's a flash of light as though the taser's there, which I didn't figure out where the flash of light is. I'm not a CIA agent. I cannot figure it out.
It sounds like you are. It sounds like you went back and forth in slow-mo, like frame by frame.
I really,
and
really
like,
tried.
This is where the alien came and attacked them.
I clearly saw Grace right there. I saw her. It's just hard. It was hard to process. I watched it back 5 times, and I'm still not completely sure of the choreography of which the stabbing had happened, but
and the hairography, because it's involving that wig.
A lot of hairography.
The wig was present. That's the only thing I know, actually.
Yeah, but it is, and it's presented from Cassie's overhead view, way overhead view. So like, it would be hard to catch in the commotion, even like on the quote unquote ground level. So to see it from like up there, where it seems like they literally just put a camera up there with her, or, you know, from that vantage point.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, who's there? Oh my God, is that Cassie? Oh no, I know it's not Cassie because she's right here. Never mind.
I did like the move to take her phone out to attempt to film it, but I also did not like the move of hanging the phone outside of the bucket of the
Ferris
wheel.
Very risky.
Like, keep it on the inside. At least get like a pop socket or like something to get a little bit more of a grip on it.
My friend does this when we're on rides and stuff, and I'm like, you better be careful. And then I'm screaming because it's a roller coaster, but I'm like, you better be careful. And he's like, I'm holding on tight. I'm like,
is your friend an Aries? Because I feel like your friend is an Aries.
He's what I think would be close. I don't know if it's gonna be like a spicy thing, but he's a Scorpio.
Of course he is. Anyway, yeah. And so then we see Cassie's in the Mind Palace with Teen Cassie, and she's just like, come with me. And she, I love them going in the elevator and Teen Cassie being like, it's not that out of order. It's like, that's not how that works.
Teen Cassie's like, it's fine. It's fine.
I'm not following Teen Cassie anywhere. She was going to bully me and like kick me in the shins. I don't trust that little thing.
She's going to like totally take an empty bottle or an empty can of beer, like crush it against her forehead and then throw it at me in a way that I'm not going to like.
Recover.
Is there a way you would like that?
I mean, yeah, there are ways that I can think of that.
Yeah. So Black Hole Cassie is taunting them as the elevator door closes, and we go to the top, and Cassie sees her mom standing by the window, and she goes to talk to her. And this is a very interesting scene because a couple of episodes ago, Jess, you and I spoke to, or maybe it was even last season, was talking about the concept of self-parenting, of like, you know, what you wish conversations with your parent actually would have gone versus how they actually did. And we kind of get this interaction between them where it kind of is like Cassie hears the words that she needs to hear from her mom.
Yes.
Even though they were not said, but in her mind, her mom is saying it. So she's self-parenting herself to hear things that she needs to say. So her mom says, you know, you waste a lot of time. You know, you have to stop breaking your own heart. You can't control how I, your mother, feels. You're powerless to make me forgive you. You're powerless when someone puts a drink in your hand. You're powerless to put yourself together, powerless to get off this Ferris wheel, but you have to accept it all of what you don't have control over. And water starts rushing in. And I feel like to me that symbolizes the rushing of emotions that she's like opening herself up to, in my opinion. And her mom says, Cassie, I love you. And I wouldn't be saying this in this place if you knew it wasn't true on the outside. Be patient with others. Be patient with me if you can. And most of all, be patient with yourself. This is a great method of self-parenting. This is what Cassie wishes her mom said when she went to go visit her. Be patient with yourself. Like, let me mother you. Let me like be here for you in this moment. It's not what Cassie heard, but she's doing a very good job in this moment saying words that she needs to hear.
Yeah, this very much felt like if there was a multiverse of the flight attendant in a different universe, this is how that conversation goes with her mother. Yeah. I especially loved that, like the parallels and the callbacks to that conversation where in the real scene, her mom does put her hand on her face, but then she smacks her. Here, she puts her hand on Cassie's face and then kind of caresses it and kind of props her chin up almost. You kind of see the heel of her palm kind of like push Cassie's chin up a little bit, kind of like literally like chin up, kid. You know, that's what it kind of made me think of. And this scene, I especially... Sarah, do you remember what Cassie's mom was wearing in the real scene, not this scene?
Because I don't know, but this seems like almost angelic, like lighter.
She's wearing all purple. Yeah. And it's this very deep purple, very like billowy, very like free kind of like in its movement. Mm-hmm. I was trying to contrast it to what she had previously worn. Mm-hmm. The water to me, I'm still thinking about it. If you listen to the Succession podcast, there's a lot of water imagery in that show as well. And there was a lot of like drowning talk and kind of just like what water means, because water can mean many different things. On one side, you have kind of like, you know, baptism and rebirth, right, of sorts. On the other side, though, there's drowning, there's suffocating. And so it's kind of hard to say for sure, especially because we had the other scene of in the Mind Palace where Cassie is drowning in a bathtub, and that is causing water to spill and pour off, right? Mm-hmm. And that is like a scene from times where she fell off the wagon. And so I'm trying to figure out like where this, because this water kind of, Ariel, kind of like flows down the stairs like a waterfall almost.
Mm-hmm. Like tears, yeah. In my mind.
Mm.
Yeah, these are all sounding way better than mine, because I was just like, oh damn, it's all that alcohol coming in from outside. I think the and you know, obviously I'm sure the official answer is it means many things. There's no real answer.
Yeah, it's how you interpret it. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But I think what I think you can say for sure is that the show has done enough with imagery and like stuff in the Mind Palace that you, even if you don't understand 100%, you still feel the right way when it's happening. And I think there's like there's a connection there for you, if only emotionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is when we get, wow, the CGI work. Easy does it bear. Cassie's sitting in the Ferris wheel thing. Easy does it bear comes out of the water like a fuzzy Godzilla, just like here to slay. And he's huge. And then he takes off his sunglasses and Cassie just stares at his like blank, like ball eyes.
I know that the show in the after credits tried to explain it, but
no,
I can't remember what they were. I don't know.
Wait, there was an after credits this episode?
Yeah, they've been doing them. They've been doing them.
No, I know, but mine didn't show any. I'll have to go back and watch it.
Oh, Jessica,
I missed it.
Maybe the first hour where they load it, it's not even up there yet or something.
I don't know what happened, but yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I understand the Easy Does It Bear really is like, it means a lot of things, right? It's symbolic of her relationship with her brother, of like him putting this faith in her, of him like wanting to support her. I don't know. I thought that like her staring into the bear's eyes was kind of like her staring into Davy's eyes, but I don't really know.
Yeah, or even staring into the, now that you mention it, like just staring into the eyes of like this horrible darkness that she sees, and it's like it's huge, right? It feels so much bigger than her, and it's like this insanely large thing. But if she can just look at it and like see it for what it is, then maybe she can do the aforementioned whatever the bear says. I can't remember now. Easy does it.
Easy does it. Yeah.
But honestly, the CGI work is just like not good.
It was so bad.
And that's the most distracting thing about it. That's the most.
It was so distracting. Like, I couldn't with this huge bear. I was like, I don't. Okay. We're getting a little too cute. Like, we could have done something else and have it be effective. This is too much for me.
So they're saying that the bear symbolizes something that haunts her as she falls off the wagon, like something that like watches her and judges
she threw
her.
It in the water and
yeah
that's and the other thing with water is like the beach and her throwing that bear in the water when she
everything washes back
relapses
up.
yeah
so they say that it's supposed to like remind her that like she's powerless in this moment against like I don't know this bear and No, she's your sorry.
Face, your face when you're like, I guess, like, this is very like Game of Thrones. She forgot about the Iron Fleet. Like, they're trying to like make it make sense after the fact, and it's like,
So she was powerless, and all of a sudden she can see the full size of the issue within the bear. I don't know. This is what the director is saying.
All right, sure, Jan.
It's
if you have to like explain so much to us, then I don't think it's very effective. I'm just saying.
I mean,
the thing has to stand on its own. I'm just saying.
I mean,
that bear was barely standing on its own. I mean, it has puff for legs, it has the help.
It has the help of a lot of computer generated pixels.
I applaud the show for doing things that are unique and different. I think that's one of the trademarks of the flight attendant. This like imagery last season, it was the rabbits. The rabbits, I think, like I was able to like justify what the rabbits meant, and I was okay with it. But I mean. The Easy Does a Bear, I do think that it is, you're right, where it's like, it's Davy. It represents Davy, like, watching her, judging her. The Easy Does a Bear watches her and judges her, and watches her recovery. I don't know. I don't know if I needed the giant bear in the moment. But none, especially, once again, it's like, especially after, like, a powerful scene.
Sarah can't move on. I love it.
Okay. Well, it's Sarah it's fine says there.
Easy does it. On
easy
the
does it. Yeah. So we're back into reality. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. We're underneath. Wait, not really, because now we're underneath. This is not really reality. We're underneath the pier. Max is like being held up by this couple. Annie tasers Esteban. Max wrestles
with Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, thank you. And then she tasers Gabrielle and she falls on the floor. Are they just like shocked?
They're just paralyzed for
a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, they're not dead. They probably peed themselves, but they're not dead.
Okay. I didn't realize that was a part of it. She does take
her ring happens back. When you tase someone.
Yeah. Oh, so she takes her ring back, which I was really happy about. And Annie is upset. She's like, I can't believe I used you as bait. Like, this was such a bad idea. But Max is like, I trusted you and you trusted yourself and it worked out and it's fine. You can totally use me as bait going forward. And then, they use this opportunity to say, guess what? We're officially engaged now.
Okay, this is a pet peeve of mine in television and movies. When people do stuff like this where they're like, oh, let's have this like 2-minute romantic moment. And I'm like, we don't have time. Like, there is an emergency. There's a killer. Your best friend is about to be murdered. And you're like all being cutesy cutesy. Like, I love Max and Annie. We never gave them a ship name. Is it Manny?
Oh.
Or is that Annex?
Axe.
Regardless, I love them, but this is not the time. Like, who knows? These people might wake up any second.
That's true.
They want to give you that catharsis. They want to give you that catharsis.
I know. I was like, not here for it. They do this in TV movies all the time, and I'm just like never okay with it.
Yeah.
But I did like that he said the right thing. He didn't like make it about him. He kept it about her. He said, I'm proud of you and you believed in yourself. I was like, wow, you don't hear that often. I like that.
Max is great. The best of us, to be honest with you. Cassie is getting off the Ferris wheel, but then she's confronted by her double where we find out it's Grace the whole time.
They really tricked us with that after the episode we want Grace to not be in sense anymore.
I will say I was tricked that episode, but I will say that I was not fully convinced. And I still thought that is still Grace as my number one suspect.
You did say that.
I didn't watch any of the, because I was binging. I didn't watch any of the after the episodes. But I didn't think of Grace until, until they showed me her at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. Then you were like, oh, it's Grace.
Stay away from the coming attractions. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah. And Grace has a gun and is like threatening Cassie. And Cassie's like, I want to go again. And the Ferris ride person lets her. Like, this is not how this works.
Kids that look alike, or you get up there.
This is never how this works. Like, go to the back of the line.
Back of the line.
You just budge a bunch of people. She budged like so many people in one day.
Yeah. I hate line cutters a lot, actually. There's like a whole big thing at my local Starbucks drive-thru where you have to fight to the death because there's so many line cutters.
I'm sorry.
What? At a drive-thru? Yeah. How does
not even a Starbucks
drive-thru. Yeah, the Starbucks drive-thru is really cutthroat. And
do people cut the line in Starbucks?
Don't get me started. But I had to slam on my horn for a good minute because people kept cutting me. Hate line cutters.
How do you cut someone off in a car?
Because it's like that thing of like chicken where they're like, I dare you to hit me. I'm going to start to like move anything. I've seen it happen. Yeah. It's not pretty.
I dare them to test me.
Yeah, maybe it's just better not to go through the Starbucks drive-thru.
But just get a Dunkin', honestly. Just get a Dunkin'. This podcast is sponsored by Dunkin'.
You wish.
America runs on Dunkin'.
You wish.
Anyway, yeah, and so they're forced on the Ferris wheel together. And Grace is very upset because Grace is like, this isn't how it was supposed to be.
How was it supposed to be then? How was it supposed to be?
This is also another pet peeve of mine where it's like, no one's asking the right questions. Like, literally, all Cassie needs to say is, who do you work for? Who do you work for? You know? It's just no one's asking the right questions.
So, yeah, Grace is like, this is so messed up. Cassie's like, I knew it was you, but I didn't want it to be because we're friends now because we hung out twice.
We're BFFs now.
Yeah.
Even though I never called Megan my best friend in season one, even though we hung out all the time.
Yeah. Grace says, I don't want to do it. And she's like, you know what? You don't have to. Like, you know, just Benjamin Barry can't tell you what to do. And Grace is like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't work for Benjamin Barry. I just stabbed him. Flashback to the scene that I was talking about before. I think if you look closely, Grace stabbed Shane from the back, Benjamin from the front. Still don't know what the weird flash thing is, but something happened.
Maybe a flash of a blade.
Maybe that's what it was. So Cassie thought that Grace was working for Benjamin, but it turns out that's not the case. We don't know who she's working for because she's too busy taking out the box cutter, which is not going to kill anybody because
Grace just grabs it and throws it.
Which is so pretty dangerous, stupid. To be honest. It's going to probably kill the person on the ground, not Grace.
Yeah, I'm a trained killer. You're a flight attendant with a box cutter.
Yeah.
First of all, rude. Second of all, it's lime green, so it's kind of fancy.
Yeah. So she says, Grace says, both of us being here together messes up the whole plan. But what's the plan? We still don't know. She's like, this is not my favorite thing to do. I genuinely liked you. This is all bigger than you and me. You know, at this point, Cassie is trying to talk her off the ledge. Like, you know, you don't have to literally do this. Not. Like, you can tell, you know, we can work through this together. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be a killer. Please put down the gun. And Grace says, I want to get out of the army at all costs because I hated what they made me do. But I wound up doing the exact same thing that I didn't want to do. Killing people for somebody else.
This to me screams Dot, right? Because Dot's in the CIA. Yeah, Dot would have access to like army stuff. That's and Dot's on the way. So like that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. So Cassie's like, why me? What's up with the Viewmaster? Grace has no idea what the Viewmaster is. And she's
So can we speculate on, like, I feel like it's pretty obvious it's Dot at this point.
I think it's Dot, yeah.
But why? What's the motive? Like why?
That's why I'm sitting here shaking my head, because I honestly don't see a way that they explain it all and that I care. Like that's kind of severe, but I mean, or even just like that it would feel that it feel completely emotionally satisfying in a way. And I mean, just as far as like the Dot part of it, where it's like they use her in a certain way. And then like, if that's who Grace is working for, like, why does it even matter? Like, I feel like I should have cared about Grace more than I did.
Yeah. The one thing that I am curious about is, if you recall in Grace's apartment, there is a photo of Grace in the army where it is ripped in half. I want to know who's the other person in the photograph.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Is it somebody else? Is it Buckley? Like, just throwing it out there. Could it be Buckley? Like, is she?
Is it Jenny?
Oh my God, it's Jaren Stone.
Jenny, freaking Jenny in the army. It's not happening. It's not. You have to let it go. It's
this podcast is brought to you by Jenny.
Jenny. Who's in the photo? I think the photo answers the question. I will say that in the next episode, we will find Cassie finding the other half of the photograph, probably in Dot's office, being like, oh no, they're connected. I knew it the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we're going to probably get. Could it be somebody else? Perhaps. But not Davey. I think that maybe it's Davey was in the army. Who knows?
Where's Davey?
Yeah.
Where is Davey?
Yeah. So she, Grace says, I just wish it didn't have to be like this. I don't like being somebody that I or dressing up as somebody that's not even me. And she's like pretty convinced, like after she gets off this ride, she's going to prison. At the same time, we hear sirens and see some colors.
She says like she never had the choice. This was like the only
this was forced option. Upon her. Cassie tries to say, you do have a choice. Just tell me who's doing this, which is like finally asking that question.
I know. We've been waiting, Cassie, for like 5 minutes for you to ask that question. Yeah. This is like the saddest part. So yeah, FYI, this is where we're obviously going to get into the suicide talk.
So this is at the moment where Grace realizes that she does have a choice, and her decision is that she is going to take her own life and do so in front of Cassie with the gun that she had in her hand. And Cassie's in shock. This is shocking. Of course it is. And the episode ends with Cassie shaking. We see sirens, lights flashing, noises. There's a ringing in her ear.
Poor Cassie's ears, honestly. After like the explosion and now a gun going off right next to her. I mean, besides the trauma of everything, obviously.
Super sad. I think
especially because I thought Grace was a really interesting character. Yeah. Loved Mae Martin on the show. I think they're a really talented actor. And so it kind of sucks that Grace is gone from the show. I almost wished we had a little bit more of Grace, like just like a dash, you know? Because it kind of sucks that like I really liked her and I would have liked to know just like ever so slightly more about her before we lost her from the show.
Yeah, I mean that I think that the thing is that once again, I don't think that obviously Grace is not the end game big bad. So she was used as a pawn to whoever is the big bad. So at the end of the day, do we really need to know about Grace? Yes, she was the one that was following Cassie. But do we even know it's that to entirety? Well, I would say probably she was probably doing the dirty work, but shipping the Viewmaster and the bloody wig, I think that shows that she wasn't behind that. There's a mastermind. She says that this is bigger than you, bigger than me. So I think that Grace was used as a pawn, and that was the most frustrating thing about her. She didn't have free will. She didn't have control of the situation. She didn't have the right to make her own decisions. Seems as though she was stuck in the army, and the way that she got out of the army was making this negotiation with whomever, the CIA maybe, have her own secret mission. And then she thought that this would give her freedom from the army. In reality, she became a prisoner with whatever entity that she got involved with. It's a sad tale.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. And like, obviously there's a little bit of a commentary about the military and certain like parts of it and how people, you know, get stuck with certain things and lack of
support
infrastructure after the fact.
You know, whether that be education or place to live or any sort of thing resources, to give you resource to help you when you get out of the army. But I thought that Grace was extremely an interesting character. I really liked their presence on the show. Obviously, I'm sad that she felt like that was her only option. And now we kind of get to see what the repercussions of this is for Cassie afterwards. Going into the season finale, we have some questions. Who is responsible for all this? What does Jenny want?
Where's What's Davey? Going on with Davey?
Where's Davey?
Where is Davey?
Yeah. What's up with the Easy Does It Bear?
Yeah.
Will the budget on the wigs get bigger?
Hopefully, and very, very low on the list. What's going to happen with Megan, but like hardly anybody cares about that at this right. point.
We have a lot of questions Megan. Left. I mean, we still have the whole question of, I mean, who's behind all of this? Is it really Dot? Will it be disappointing if it's Dot? I think that's my main question.
I think if they do it in a satisfying way, then no, I don't think it would be sad if it's Dot.
Right.
And I assume that like Shane and Benjamin Barry are okay, because they only got like stabbed once.
I mean, like, if you see like the coming attractions, you see like one of the two in a hospital bed because they give up all the beans in the coming attractions and the previously ons.
I mean, they got Cheryl Hines, right? And like, I can totally see a world in which she gets a like really meaty villain monologue.
Yeah.
You know, a little sarcastic. Yeah. She's really good at that.
A little sassy.
And she could sell it to me, but I need them to really work hard.
Yeah. You can do it. We believe in you. Easy does
it. We believe in you. Easy does it on making it bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I did like this episode. I thought it was a good penultimate. I wish it was a little bit longer. Like it went by so quickly that I just wish there was like a little bit more of it and a little less Megan stuff. But you know, that's just but I'm so jazzed about the finale that's coming up next week.
Mm-hmm. So Ariel, what are you up to these days? I feel like you have a lot of beans. going on so many beans.
This first of all, this was awesome to come on here and talk about this. Like, I have enjoyed so much of the emotional stuff of the show, and it always catches me by surprise, like when I feel stuff, because I think they do a really good job of like presenting you with the quote-unquote like poppy stuff, you know, like popcorn stuff, and when the emotional stuff hits so hard because you're not expecting it. And this season, especially with the addition of like Sharon Stone and last episode was incredible. So I'm really, no matter like how much I complain and hem and haw about like the dumb, you know, spy stuff, like the emotional stuff is still really hitting hard. And I think that's not easy to do. So thank you both for having me. I am on Twitter at That Other Ariel. I am covering The Staircase, another HBO Max series with Marissa for Pusher Recaps. And I am now back from vacation, and Grace and I are going back to movies.
Love a movie.
Pusher Recaps Theater. I'm trying to remember what movie we're covering this week.
Firestarter.
Yes, I couldn't remember if it was. I'm excited because I've heard a lot of bad stuff about it, and I'm so excited to watch a bad horror movie.
Yes.
But that's it for me.
Love it. Jessica and I will be covering the last episode of The Flight Attendant. We are very much looking forward for that next week, as well as you can find us at Shit Nineties Pod, Shit Nineties Show's Taught Me on Twitter and Instagram, Shit Nineties Pod, where we cover Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek and other 90s content. Lots of fun over there. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. Jessica, anything else by you?
You can find me at The Just Sterling on Twitter. Ariel, Grace, and I just finished season 2 of The Wilds.
Oh my God.
So that is done.
On that island for so long.
We were really stuck there for a good minute. So go check out all of those podcasts. That was a blast. Beyond that, I'm on a bit of a hiatus from community building until June. Of course, there are mentioned Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. And then maybe it'll be something in the near future. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
What could that be?
Keep an eye on all those things. But in the meantime, if you want to have a little chat, if you want to talk about like cheese or dinosaurs or the color purple or pretty much anything, I will. What? Those are my interests. If you want to talk to me about any of those things, tag me. in the Posher Recaps Discord, and you could do that by becoming a patron, posherrecaps.com/Patreon. At the $5 level, you become a campus member. You get limited access, but it's still access nonetheless. And you also get early releases to certain podcasts. And at the $10 level, that's when you get the whole kit and caboodle.
Is that where you get the backdoor access?
Oh my. Oh
my God, it's been jimmied for you at the $10 level.
The backdoor has been jimmied at the $10 level. You could break into the, don't break in, but you could get into the Posher Recaps full Discord.
No North Korean hacking, please.
No, please. And yeah, easy does it on into our Discord, and we'll chat. We'll have a little convo. It'll be great. We have a whole little channel about the flight attendant. Earlier, let me call out who was it said it. Seth asked, does anyone else think that Cassie's ringtone is annoying, or is it just me? And I said,
yeah, it's pretty annoying.
So tired of it.
Okay. I kept waiting. So I watched season one, obviously, very, very recently. And like, I kept waiting for them to like really, because they're building it up in the very beginning. They're building up. Like, what are they going to do? I know they're going to do this. They've done it on The Good Fight. They do this all the time. I love this. And then it plays at the funeral in like the third or fourth episode. Yeah. And I died laughing. I was like, yes, we did it, y'all.
I hate it. It's like, I need you.
First of all, I love that song. It is annoying, but it's so good. It makes me smile every time.
I hate it. So yeah, join us in the Discord to make fun of the Cassie still having a ringtone in 2022. I think that's everything we've got. So we'll be back next week, flying into your feet with the finale of The Flight Attendant. We appreciate you all for being on this flight with us today. Safe landing. Please, everybody, I don't know, buckle your seatbelts. And then get off the plane once we've landed. Unbuckle your seatbelts to get off the plane. Okay, thanks, everybody. Bye.